And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My trucks didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust! It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
But Frank's on time, so I can't use that.
Yeah.
I had it already, man. I'm just knowing it wasn't my fault. But he made it, even though he had a flat tire on his motorcycle. And he's like, you know, and he switched out and he made it. So, like, damn it. That was going to have me some fun. And, you know, but I was so built. He goes, "You look disappointed." I go, "I am." I was, because I knew he'd walk in right about the time he got in, like a whole minute or two before. All right. So, Trump report. There's a lot of news, a lot of stuff going on. We've had a lot of stories. I'm like, man, we got to cut back on the story, but there's so much stuff. You know, that's the biggest complaint I get on the dispatch. You're like, damn, Ernie, seriously, 50 things a day? I mean, you know, I just scan it. It's done in a way. You scan the headlines, I get it. And I didn't know about that. I didn't know about Turkey freaking closing the straits through where the Black Sea goes into the Mediterranean. You know, that is one, Istanbul. Yeah, which is now what? Istanbul, I guess. I mean, it was Constantinople.
Constantinople. Yeah,
okay. Constantinople, which was the Eastern Empire,
Roman.
It's close. Yeah, you know, the Roman Empire kind of, you know, was
Emperor Constantine, there, yeah.
Which is where the Council of Nicaea came from, which is where the Holy Bible was written. You want to know where the Bible was written? It was by a Roman emperor. That's who wrote it. You know, they came in. No, it was government approved, though. Don't worry about it. You know, there's Romans 13 in there. You know, you got to pay homage to the government.
It's actually fascinating to learn. They went through and they had to figure out which gospels stayed in, which ones didn't. There was the gospel according to Mark, Luke, John, and Matthew. Those were eventually, now we know as the synoptic gospels. Those are the ones that were finally approved at the meeting of Nicaea. But the kicker was there was all sorts of other gospels. The gospel according to Mary Magdalene, the gospel according to Thomas.
No, that one.
And they went through and they basically decided which ones created the narrative.
Canonized them.
They canonized and they threw out a bunch. And of course, through the years, we have found these gospels and we've actually dated them to the same time. So there were all sorts of stories, but they became so fractured because they're all around the Middle East around that time. And ultimately, and some believe it was actually the descendants of Jesus, because he did have a brother. It was Jesus' brother was, I believe, James. Yeah, sorry, James. James, the brother of Jesus.
And we have Ben Soprano, which is his other book, The Testament of James.
Yeah,
that's what that's about.
Exactly. And so they got together in the family, and I'm not trying to be desecration on the religion, but this is just a historical fact, that the family, you know, had a lot of pull. And they got together, and there was a lot of infighting between the faction of James and Jesus' descendants, against Paul the Apostle.
And the Pope and all that Catholic Church.
And all this went together. And eventually they said, look, we need to find a way to standardize. It was sort of like Common Core.
Exactly.
It was Common Core religion.
Common
and they
core
said, let's
religion.
Get the foundation.
The
oh, my gosh. That's exactly what it was. And they in a cigar-smoked room, and they got together in Nicaea.
With robes.
And they decided which gospels are thrown out, which ones were in. And that was it. And they closed the book, no pun intended.
It was mid-90s before I even knew this existed. And I'll tell you how it happened. Mm-hmm. We accumulate, you know, Bibles. I mean, you know, you have, they're laying around, you know, whatever. I usually would have one in the car. You know, I'd have it in the passenger front seat little pocket thing there, you know, like Mike Wasden or, you know, some, you know, atheist friends. What the heck is this toilet paper doing? Oh, my God. I say, here's a lot of wisdom. Open a page.
Because
that's right. You know, whenever I'd be indecision or something, kind of, you know, or just, I've read them through before. There's a lot of wisdom in there, especially in the New Testament. But I go like this. I just open, read a pen, okay, and it kind of sparks a thought or inspiration or something. And so I'm going, all right, one Bible that I had, I was doing a card. It was a birthday or Christmas card or something to a friend of mine. And I just opened up there. I go, this is kind of a, you know, cool quote. So I put it in there, and it's whatever the book was, and I didn't recognize it, but I'm not, you know, I remember, like, my sister, man, she knows I'm all in order, and, you know, from, you know, Genesis to Revelation kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I quoted this one book, I put it in there, sent it the card to him, he goes, what the hell is this? Where'd you get this quote? That, there's no book of whatever. And I go, really? It's in the Bible. I pulled it out, and I go, and he goes, that's the Apocrypha.
Mm-hmm.
It's in, it, the Catholic Bible is different. Okay, if he includes the Apocrypha, or I don't know if it's Catholic or not. Or anyway, there are Bibles that include these left out books. Okay, mm-hmm. And then I started reading some of them. I'm looking at it and I'm going, wow, I can see why they took it out. It was very negative. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that I read, it was kind of, you know, is more Old Testament-y. You know, it's kind of more the tradition. That's why they had the New Testament. It was kind of, you know, we're going to, it's a different flavor. We're going to focus on the positive. It's the, you know, it's kind of like the Ron Paul versus the rest of politics. It's still politics, but it's Ron Paul politics, you know, that kind of thing. You could see it in here. And I'm going, who the hell decided this? How did this happen? When was this done? They did not tell me about this in Bible study, man. I mean, what the hell? Council of Nicaea.
Uh-huh.
It was when the big giant, it's like Bitcoin, we need to have, you know, the line on the IRS form that says how much money and profit I made or lost from Bitcoin, and I put it here in the government approval of wide adoption. Well, the wide adoption of Christianity as a religion was Constantinople, which was the Eastern Roman Empire in Constantinople.
Right.
The government finally adopted Christianity. Can't beat them. Join them, okay? So they go, but we got to have a state-approved official, you know, going forward religion of the right book to say the right stuff of being right, and not, you know, everybody do revolution and, you know, Jesus rebel thing.
You know, it's interesting, but the politics with this, and I always love coming on this show because you never know what we're going to open with. But, you know,
we'll get to Trump
next week. But, you know, what's interesting is, you know, the Romans, of course, obviously persecuted the Catholics or the Christians at the time. Before they were known as Christians, they were just called Jews. I mean, they were part of what was called the Jesus movement, because their followers of Jesus were not just Jews, they were super Jews. You got to keep in mind, Jesus was he was like the Malcolm X of their day.
Yeah, he was the savior,
he was
man.
He was angry because basically the Pharisees at the time, which became rabbis, but the Pharisees, he thought they were sellouts because they were capitulating with the Romans. They were going along with the Romans to get along. And Jesus is like, wait a minute, you guys are allowing Roman guards in the temple, the holy temple. There's one temple for the one God, and you want Romans to be patrolling the streets there? And so Jesus was really a ticked off Jewish individual.
You know, that's
with
what the
principle.
Money changers thing was all about.
Yeah,
overturning,
yeah.
Because they made it official. You had to have the right currency or the right dove to sacrifice or the right whatever. Mm-hmm. And this exchange, everybody's getting a cut off of it. And he's going, you central banking sons of bitches.
Yeah,
man.
He was angry. And so he wound up.
That was the only time he got. I remember him getting mad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, oh, yeah? I mean, he actually did property damage in my house kind of thing. You know, how did we get before the end of the segment? The reason we brought this up is Constantinople, Istanbul is in the news again. Because I'm going, there is a small strait. We got a NATO country there that it is where the Black Sea connects to the Mediterranean. Well, the Russian fleet is in the Black Sea, and the Mediterranean goes into Syria. So I'm going, oh, that nobody treat. No, 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 you never close. No, you can't. No, that'd be an act of war. You can't. Turkey closed it. They go, Russian warships can't go in. It's a blockade against. I'm going, that's an act of war.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Nat King Cole, Man for Christmas. All right. You know, we were at, when we went to the, oh yeah, Keith was on, we were talking about, we went to our Beatles tribute band thing. Right. That was fun. You know, there was a notice up there that the, Johnny Mathis is coming. And I'm going, wow, that would be cool. Going, yeah, he's kind of past it. You know, he takes his walker out on stage kind of thing. I'm wondering, you know, how long is this guy going to go? So maybe we're better off just get the album, you know. But the it made me think of that. But the shooting that's going on, this is going to get heavily political today.
Yep.
And you can expect that. But one thing that's interesting, the one of the stories we have up on Freedom's Phoenix, breaking, SWAT team drill turns into real mass shooting scenario in San Bernardino, California. There just happened to be a SWAT team nearby training for this. And then, look what happened. You know, it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, the tube station in London thing, or they're doing the drill thing, 9/11. It's kind of weird, you know. I just, you know, it's kind of weird. But go ahead and tell me what you told me off air. You had some kind of narrative on this thing.
First of all, I know most of you listen to this on the archive. So by the time you hear this, a lot of this might be just archaic and old hat. But basically, from what we know a little bit here, and I have some clips with Rand Paul that was actually he was interviewed by Fox this morning, which was nice, I have to say, you know, him being the so-called he's a non-interventionist, but you know, they paid him out different. We'll play that. But anyway, the point is that they thought there were three shooters that went and randomly shot up this place. It's a social worker building for the handicapped in California. Figures they pick a place in California. Social workers, I'm not trying to make a cheap shot here, but, you know, more liberal, and probably if there's one place, you know, you're not going to get any resistance of firearms, a bunch of social liberals.
Well, we're showing
in
right
California
here for the video.
There's a video, yeah.
Yeah, we're showing, it's like a bunch of disabled people in wheelchairs. They're having a Christmas party, and a social worker and volunteer, and they all, it's a good photo op.
It's very sweet. Yeah, it's really,
we're there dancing with them and so on. Oh, look how much fun we're having with these people. Don't have any fun.
Yeah, and it's really a shame, too. I have to be honest. I mean, I did my residency in, you know, in facilities like that, and, you know, as patients, it was a fantastic experience. So it kind of hits me hard as a doctor as well. But in any case, supposedly, they thought three people came and shot it up. The government has been extremely quiet about what the problem is. This thing is politically supercharged for a number of reasons, because if this really is a terrorist attack, you know, this flies right in the face of Obama, who just a few weeks ago said, you know, we have ISIS under control, nothing to see here. And then when the Paris attack happened, well, that's different. And well, that was over there. And well, this and well, that. And it was not over here. And then, of course, you know, ISIS, we played that video that really interesting Star Wars ISIS video last time, and they're saying, bring it on, we're all ready. You know, you guys have no idea, the storm's just getting started. And then this happens. So immediately, the government starts spinning it as, oh, well, it's not a terrorist attack. And then they said, well, it's domestic terrorism. And, well, it's local because the person was an American. Well, who? Well, they wouldn't tell us.
The two suspects, male and female, have been identified as 28-year-old Saeed Farouk, born in the United States, and female, 27-year-old
his wife,
Tashfeen Malik. According to the Associated Press, the San Bernardino police chief said that the two had a relationship, possibly married or engaged.
So what we know is, that's how they start spinning it again. Now his name came out last night. They tried to hide that. And then with his name, they're making assumptions. Well, maybe he was a terrorist or from ISIS. And the government keeps trying to not get into it. Now, there's 2 points. One is you definitely want to be fair. You don't want to come out accused of someone and something they haven't done and worry people. At the same time, there is obviously, again, this politically charged environment because Obama and the liberals have all backed him about allowing all these Syrian refugees into this country. We're fighting over that right now during an election year while the primaries are going on, and this happens. So there's so much political weight and drama over the revelation of who these people are. What we do know so far, as far as we know, this is fact. Again, it's still in motion. The official press conference is going to be on in about an hour or two, so a lot of this might be changed. But here's what we know so far, is that it was not 3 shooters, it was 2, and one of them was a woman. And then it turns out it was a young man and a young woman, who the woman supposedly was his wife, or we'll find out whatever the relationship was. As we find out, though, yes, the gentleman was shot people, he's an animal, but anyway, this guy is an American, I guess from California. Turns out he was a normal guy doing regular job, I think maybe went to college, who knows, but all of a sudden, here's the pattern. He went to Egypt about 6 months ago. And then he comes back with a Middle Eastern bride that was from the Middle East, and she got pregnant. I think they had a son. Maybe it was like a year ago when he came back. I can't remember, a year or 6 months. He starts growing his beard all of a sudden. And then all of a sudden he goes in during a Christmas party. I suppose it was a Christmas party, and shoots everybody up. And the two of them. So obviously this woman knew about guns. I'm sure she didn't just learn on the job. You know, she obviously probably had a background. And the two of them start shooting with semi-assault weapons here. And after they were done, the first round, they were all organized. They dropped the magazines, and then threw another magazine in. They were very organized about how many that they did. After the second or third round of magazines, then they both got together and went off, organized into the car, and took off. The question is, though, they didn't seem to have an escape plan. I mean, they left in the car, but so far that we know, they didn't really take off that far. They just kind of hung around or were easy to catch, which makes you wonder, maybe they were expecting to die.
They had a meeting with their FBI informant guy.
So anyway, guys, I apologize if anything I said is wrong by the time you hear this, but that's as current as we know as of just about half an hour ago. So
you know, what was that? You know, this is the first time I can't remember his name. What was the alleged assassinator of JFK?
You got me here. No, it was Ruby who shot Oswald.
Oswald.
Yeah.
Okay. What was Oswald's first name?
I kept thinking Booth, but that was Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, Oswald.
James Oswald. Was it James?
No.
Why? God, the time. Why are we on the radio? How will you figure?
I can't. You know, what's interesting is that I can't remember the guy's name. Oswald. Ruby Oswald. Oswald.
Jack Ruby. And then what's something in the coffee here?
I know. I'm sitting here thinking.
You guys on the radio are yelling at us. You're yelling at us.
It's a brainwave thing. They're freaking messing us up, you know, but it's not going to stop me from saying it. Yeah. Anyway, Oswald was the same kind of M.O. He left. He went somewhere for a while. He came back, and then this happened. Mm-hmm. He went to Russia. He comes back. You know, it's like he went to Egypt. He comes back. There was a wife involved, Russian wife,
huh?
You know, now Russian. We have a Muslim. You know, it's kind of. I'm going. I've seen this pattern before. You know, Donna. What was Oswald's name?
Lee Harvey.
Thank you. She came running in here to write it down. She's like, God, these people, you know. And Lee Harvey, and it's always a middle name. Whenever it's an assassin, they always got their middle name. You know, it's
Well, is that, they always had the Republicans, Barack Hussein Obama. That's probably why they always had to push that.
I know. That was like a gift, you know? So this is, that's one thing I like, you know, seeing in 08, you know, race and name and ethnicity and all that. Mm. Just the younger people, they just don't care, you know? But is it like stereotyping? They're playing us? Are we being played here? There's something. And all I can think of, there wasn't enough guns. Somebody in a wheelchair needed to have a gun.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
So basically, we have the Trump update, and basically understand Trump. It's just like Rocky, and so we'll use this as our theme song. We have another Trump report of a number of factors. It's been Trump under attack all week. Basically, it started off with the issue of him seeing Muslims cheering when 9/11, when the buildings fell, and the media saying he was racist and a bigot for that. And over this past week, they found those videos that supposedly people were cheering, you know, at that. So on top of that, we have Marco Rubio attacking him, saying that he's going to be weak on on ISIS. On top of that, which is extremely important, you have Jeb Bush making a frontal assault as far as image.
Exactly.
Jeb, okay, his last name's not Bush, right? And so all of a sudden, you're seeing Bush. Bush now is wearing a tie. All this time, he's been downplaying his image. He's been wearing a tie now of late. Fascinating. He keeps changing his image, trying to second guess what Trump does. And then at the same time, most profound, this past week, we have the Senate, a hidden letter that was sent out to all the senators, telling the senators, what if Donald Trump wins the nomination? How are we going to deal with this problem? This has been amazing. A seven-page letter saying that it's possible he could win. And here's these Republicans telling them, other senators in secret, how we can manipulate the system, how we can ride his coattails if, God forbid, he wins. All of this has been happening. This thing was leaked. It's been all on the Washington Post and others. I'm going to try and read some clips from it, you know, coming up. But it's been...
Of course it was leaked.
Yeah, of course it was leaked. I couldn't believe it. It's oh no, wait, don't turn up. It's almost up. This is his theme. This is what he's been dealing with all week, Trump. He has also, as far as this letter, he has to respond, and he will respond well. I think ultimately it shows him versus the establishment. So he's going to duck, he's going to weave, he's going to jive, he's going to move around, and I'm telling you, he will take the establishment down. You moved the song.
Well, I didn't think you were going to end in time.
I know exactly how it ends.
All right, there we go.
So go ahead, you turn it off.
I got it. You did it. You the man. All right. So this is what's just happened in what, last few days?
Yeah, this is the past week.
Okay, let's go back to Freedom's Phoenix. And I want to this Muslim dancing thing. You know, because I don't care, you know.
Muslim dancing?
Yeah, the 9/11 deal. Trump is right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you go, Trump is right. You know, I'm wondering, you know, I haven't seen this yet. Okay, so we'll just go ahead and I'll just, you know, play whatever.
Continue there, the crater and all that destruction downtown.
Upon President Bush's return to the White House today from Camp David, he vowed to get the evildoers, saying that they made a terrible, terrible mistake in assuming that the U.S. would not take immediate action. Pablo Guzman is here now, the latest on the investigation. We have arrests and arrest warrants. Pablo?
Todd, Dana, step by step, it happens. Now, most of you know that yesterday the FBI raided an apartment in Jersey City where two men lived who were pulled off a train in Texas and are now back in New York being held in connection with Tuesday's attacks. Ayub Ali Khan, 51, and Muhammad Jawi Asma, 47, taken off the train they had boarded after their flight out of Newark, like every other flight in America, was ordered down after the attacks in New York, Washington, and Pennsylvania. However, what no one outside the terrorist task force knows is that just a couple of blocks away from that Jersey City apartment the FBI raided yesterday and where they had evidence removed, is another apartment building, one that investigators told me, quote, is swarming with suspects. Suspects who I'm told were cheering on the roof when they saw the plane slam into the Trade Center. Now, police were called to the building by other neighbors and found 8 men celebrating, 6 of them tenants in the building. The FBI and other terrorist task force agencies then arrived, and the older investigators on the task force recalled that they had been to this building before, 8 years ago, when the first World Trade Center attack led them to Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman, whose Jersey City mosque lies between the two buildings getting attention today. And the older investigators remembered that suspects who eventually got convicted for the first Trade Center case, followers of Sheikh Rahman, lived in the building where these same 8 men were celebrating the destruction that they saw from the roof. Calling this a hot address, the task force investigators ordered everyone detained. And they saw something else, a model of the Trade Center on the roof, along with sets of binoculars. The kind of model used by an architect or an engineer for a presentation, an investigator told me. They knew, he said, that the planes were going to hit, and they wanted a ringside seat. Remember, part of what motivates Osama bin Laden against the United States, he has told followers, is that the United States put Sheikh Rahman in jail. Bin Laden has said that for that, the U.S. must pay. Yeah.
Todd, it's absolutely chilling, the fact that they were sitting there waiting, watching, as if getting ready to celebrate the fact that the Twin Towers would topple.
You know, the first investigators on the scene, so the first police, and even the first FBI agents, didn't realize the scope of what happened. They thought maybe these guys put them carrying a fireworks display. But when the other investigators saw the model, saw the binoculars,
and remembered that address and what it really meant to the first Trade Center bomb, that's when they said, we got to grab everybody.
All right, Pablo. Thank you. Pablo Guzman.
Yeah, this is, that's just, and this is December 1st, 2015, that somebody put this up on YouTube. This is, I've seen this kind, you know, see, it's just, it's like when we were talking with Macy before, you know, when she had new 9/11 stuff, you know, and I'm going, they seed this stuff. I've seen this, okay, let me give you an example. In Thailand, where they have the underage sex brothels of the whatever, you got enough money and you're a pedophile, pervert, and God knows what. You go to Thailand and you kind of, well, what they would do, there was a book, it was called Race Against the Machine or something like that. And I remember the guy's name was Race Bannon, you know, his name he went by. And he was Interpol and got, you know, it's a long story. But the point was, is that in this Interpol sex trafficking thing, they came across what they would do is different politicians and powerful people and so on. That's why you have to be a pedophile to be a congressman kind of deal. It's because they need some leverage on you. Well, in Thailand, they just kind of camped out. They take pictures in everybody that went in. Then in the Thai paper, local, you know, news is this in Thai. You wouldn't be able to read it. And you'd have the name of some politician or somebody that went in. Oh, yeah. And he did. And it just sits there for a decade. Just sits there. And they pull it out when they need it. We need you to say this about that on the legislation of something or whatever. And we got this right here in your file says. Now, here's FBI files of whatever the Clintons had in the 90s on everybody and blah, blah, blah. So I have always. And what did you get out of this? Muslims on the roof. First Trade Center. Second Trade Center. An architect graph of the, you know, kind of a layout, 3D layout. Binoculars. The same, you know, I'm going. And Osama, picture up, it's like, yeah, this is, they go, we'll pluck this when it's, you know, best for the plucking. I just feel manipulation. I mean, it's, isn't that fortuitous that, you know, a decade and a half later, which was with, and it's called, what's in the background, it's called America Rising, you know, New Jersey 9/11. It just seems too contrived to me. I mean, not that it, you know, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, it could be true either. I'm feeling manipulated, in my opinion. No opinion.
It's what happened. Trump, he's mentioned this stuff in the past, and others of my family back east, some people, they remember these stories as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they hide it. And of course, you know, the liberal media is not talking about, you know, just show this. Just show this. Trump says something. The immediate response is, oh, my gosh. It's not the fact of did that video exist? Can we find it? No. The immediate response is, did you hear what he said? How dare he say something controversial? You must apologize. You must apologize. And he was on the Alex Jones show recently, a very good interview, first one with Alex Jones recently. I give him credit. And both of them said, we don't apologize easily unless you're proven wrong. And here we go. Liberals, play that video. There you go.
I know that Trump had this said, go ahead, make my day.
Yep.
Set him up.
There we go.
But it may have been it's meant to be set up.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we're right back. This is what we're going to do, the misguided missile, a GOP strategist private advice on a Trump nomination. This is a 7-page confidential memo that Frank says he can read really fast. Okay, now Ward Baker it's from him. So who the heck is Ward Baker? Do we know?
He's a senator and a senior staff senator, I guess sounds like. Basically, Senator Baker, and he was asked, or I don't know if he did it on his own, whatever the deal is, but he wrote this letter to other senators to basically explain, A, what are we going to do, God forbid, if Trump actually wins the nomination?
Okay, let me do who he is. Ward Baker to run GOP Senate campaign arm. Ward Baker has been tapped. Pop-ups. Ward Baker has been tapped to be the next executive director of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. Three sources told Politico on Friday. Now, this was dated a year ago, this November 14th last year. Baker is currently political director and will succeed Bob Collins in the executive director post. Okay, so he is in charge. The deal has not been formalized yet. Baker is working out the final terms of the blah, blah, blah. Incoming Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell played a key role in Baker's selection. Oh, well, that tells me everything I need to know. Okay, so it's Mitch McConnell and friends, of which he was going to be, like, talking about him being Speaker or something, and kind of the revolt. So these are...
This is the establishment.
The establishment.
This is the establishment, and this is what's so key. You know, I have not, despite doing the Trump report and the Rocky theme and all the rest, I have not officially endorsed Trump yet, but, you know, he is... My whole issue with Trump, remember, is taking on the establishment. There's three ways this is going to go. A, he's going to win. And if he is president, he will change things. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to change things the way that many of us listening would want him to do. We're not having that discussion right now. But I'm just saying he is going to change things. That includes wiping out, you know, all of the same players that the Democrats and Republicans keep putting in as far as cabinet members and everyone else. He will wipe them out. So he will certainly change for better or for worse. B is that he runs off the nomination and he loses, and probably he'll lose because of corruption. Unlike what happened to Rand Paul, Donald Trump will probably expose the corruption, which also is a win as far as taking on the establishment. Or thirdly, and I do not mean this in either disrespectfully or in a conspiracy or to be incendiary, but he gets assassinated. And many people are thinking that if he gets that close to the White House, they will not let him in. And if that happens, that also will expose the establishment for what they are. So either way, this is how and why I am kind of... This Trump report means a lot to me. But here is the letter, as much as I can read. And I know the cardinal sin of radio is reading, so I would try to make this palatable. But it's that important, I think, to understand the mindset of the establishment and why Trump is the anti-establishment. So here we go. Private letter to the senators. The place is Cleveland, Ohio. The date is July 21st, 2016. And Donald Trump has just accepted the nomination of the Republican Party to be nominee for president. Not since liberal Republican businessman Wendell Willkie won the GOP nomination in 1940, had another dark horse candidate stood as its nominee for president. And Wilkie and Trump have a lot in common. Both were seen as fresh-faced outsiders. Each had the backing or received the promotion of major news media outlets, and both were outside of the established political order. Wilkie would go on to lose to wartime President Franklin Roosevelt, but this time it's harder to predict an outcome because of the volatility of the electorate. Trump has risen because voters see him as authentic, independent, direct, firm, and by the way, they write this in italics, and believe he can't be bought. That's in italics from him, right? And they believe he can't be bought.
Well, we got to know. The answer's always yes, just how much.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, this is so cynical even hearing these guys. All right, back to the letter. These are the same character traits our candidates should be advancing in 2016. That's Trump lesson number one. Let me reiterate it. This is what they're admitting. These are the same traits that we should be advancing, the fact that they're authentic, independent, direct, and can't be bought, right?
Oh,
this
God.
Is this is should be. I hope you guys have a barf bag here. We should prepare for 2016 by understanding the environment and recognizing the Trump phenomena. Right, this is coming from the establishment. They're trying to educate everyone to explain why you people, you little people out there, seem to like this Trump guy. Right, the following here's a list. The following are a series of recommendations to consider if Donald Trump, God forbid, is the GOP nominee in 2016. Here we go. Here's what you need to be doing, Ernie, in order to take on the Trump machine. Number one, Trump is a misguided missile. Let's face facts. Trump says what's on his mind, God forbid, and that's a problem. Our candidates will have to spend full time defending him or condemning him if that continues. And that's a place we never, ever want to be.
Oh, my God.
It is certain that all GOP candidates will be tied in some way to our nominee. And this is italic and underline. But we need not be tied to him so closely that we have to engage in permanent cleanup or distancing maneuvers.
Compared to which other GOP nominee?
I know. Guys,
McCain?
I know. I hope you guys, I hope you're all bent over by the toilet vomiting, because I don't blame you. Number two, run your own race. You're running for the U.S. Senate, so focus on that. Don't get drawn into every Trump statement and every Trump dust-up. Keep the focus on your own campaign and the voters back home. Number three, show your independence. This is from the establishment, mind you. As we know, Trump is subject to farcical fits. You can still obey the, quote, run your own campaign edict while still taking Trump to task on outrageous statements where the media won't let you off the hook. Choose opportunities to take the moral high ground while exerting your independence. Number three, remember the basics. Every campaign is about telling voters who you are, what you want to do, and why you're the best choice for the job. Turn your biography into a compelling narrative that shows you're one of them. Oh, I love this. Promote a new vision and own the future. Stake out new issues and turf or reframe issues so it has a new look to it. This allows you to separate from the national debate, promote issues you care about, and in a new manner. And it's harder for opponents to knock since you're offering a new vision. Change the look. This keeps getting worse. It's time to change the way you and your campaign are presented. Lose the suit and visit people in their homes and places of work. Hold sessions where you listen to people and capture audio and video of them discussing their real world problems. These little people, Ernie. People talk about problems, bold point, not issues. So focus on the problems and offer your solutions. Avoid Washington speak, like talking about legislation, bills, and insider talk, in favor of Main Street common sense. In other words, be condescending. And tell your communications and media teams to up the vibe and change the look. You see, voters are onto you when you do the standard walk and talk through a business, school, or factory. Try a new look and have business owners, constituents, family members, and workers talk about you. Have them talk about a problem you solved, a solution you came up with, or a life-changing event. Feature them in your issue phase while assuming the role. Let me skip ahead a little bit. To accomplish the above, each campaign must line up the citizen narrators or storytellers now. Reveal your constituent files and find the old letters thanking you for solving a problem.
Ugh.
Next, get permission to use their story. Let me skip to something of interest here. It just keeps getting worse. They talk about consider Special note, consider doing some of the jobs the workers do in the machine shops, small businesses, and factories you visit. Have the employee show you what they do and then try to do it.
Oh, after you get the mandatory OSHA government training of it took you, you'll never get to do it.
Yeah, exactly. This changes the visual narrative, so it's more personal and engaging. Number five, understand the changing environment and recalibrate now. Recalibrate now. The Trump phenomenon exists because Washington politicians promise change but don't deliver. Your job is to deliver, in italics. In the past two cycles, it was easy to say, Washington's broken. But in 2016, you need to demonstrate that you'll rip up the rotten roots and begin
what?
Anew.
Congress isn't in session? I mean, you know, go do it.
to get on the reformist wave, right? I mean, to get on the wave, right? We're not trying to change anything. You got to be on the wave. Advance clear-cut reforms that change the way Washington works. The best way to do this is to highlight reforms that you've previously advanced. Special note, consider visuals that communicate change and reform. Feature candidates working on an old engine, and note how sometimes you have to do a complete overhaul to get things working. Consider featuring a candidate in a field, ripping up a rotten tree stump so the field can be cleared and planning can be done. Anyway, I appreciate you not vomiting on the set here, Ernie.
No, my thing, I already see where this is going.
And there's four more pages,
we
guys, online.
We need to have a complete overhaul. We need a constitutional convention.
Yep.
You're going to be hearing about this a lot.
Yep.
I mean, they're already doing ads here on LRN. I mean, I'm for the off now, which is a state. You know, they're going, yeah, no, it's not, Ernie. I'm going, man, I talked to Kelly Ward. This is how she was approached. Exactly this. This is the crowd that this is how. Donna, get Kelly Ward back on.
But the point is, the establishment's afraid of Trump. That's the key, too. Is that there is a split, and they are afraid of him, for what it's worth.
It's how do they, you know, it's political judo. They're going to use it however they want to appear to be. Kelly Ward, all right, fine, get her on again.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keenan, the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Thursday, December 3rd, 2015. Silver is trading at $14.03 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,055 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $362. Antiwar.com reports, though officials continue to insist President Obama intends to close the detention center at Guantanamo Bay at some point, he has reportedly rejected the latest Pentagon proposal to do so as too expensive to justify. The plan would have cost $600 million, $350 million of which was meant to build a new prison on U.S. soil, a figure the president believed was excessive. The plan would have saved $100 million in annual operations for running a prison inside the U.S. instead of the legal black hole at Guantanamo Bay. How the president would have come up with the $600 million, however, was unclear, as Congress has repeatedly barred spending any money on the transfer of prisoners or closing the facility. President Obama insisted such restrictions are counterproductive. When he took office in 2009, President Obama vowed to close Guantanamo Bay by the end of the year, though up to this point, he's made no serious efforts to do so. While he has blamed Congress, the opposition to the site's closure has mostly come in the past few years after Obama failed to deliver on the initial pledge. For nearly 40 years, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has been a trusted source for buying and selling precious metals like gold and silver. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and have permanently removed the minimum purchase amount for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Roberts & Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on buying and selling precious metals and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 800-874-9760 or visit online at rrbi.co. UPI reports police on Wednesday afternoon engaged in a high-speed chase and gun battle with suspects believed to have been involved in an earlier attack on a social services facility in Southern California, according to officials and news reports. Hours after the shooting, authorities spotted three people riding inside a dark-colored SUV not far from the original crime scene and attempted to detain them. Following a high-speed chase, two suspects were shot, according to NBC News, who cited law enforcement officials. NBC Los Angeles reported two of the suspects were killed, but a third fugitive appears to be at large in a residential neighborhood where police brought in a canine unit and went from house to house searching for the perpetrator. More than a dozen people were shot dead and several others were wounded after the gunman opened fire inside the facility, located about 60 miles east of the Los Angeles area around 11 a.m. local. San Bernardino Police Chief Jared Bergwan said at a news conference that as many as three gunmen entered the facility and began shooting people inside. More than a dozen people were killed, and police representatives said the injured toll was 17, 10 of whom they said were critically wounded. When her plush and comfy life suddenly and unexpectedly fell apart, Brooke and her dog Cloud set out to defy the odds. If this is a man's world, as they say, living on the streets is no place for a young woman. One day she awoke in the Redwood Forest and realized she had become a hobo and would ultimately come to know exactly what it means to survive. How to Be a Hobo by Brooke Willett is available from Amazon.com and all major bookstores. Reuters reports a Texas state agency sued the U.S. State Department, a relief agency, and others in federal court on Wednesday seeking to block the resettlement of Syrian refugees in the state just ahead of a plan to bring a new group of Syrians within a week. The International Rescue Committee is set to relocate two Syrian refugee families to Texas in the coming days, despite a threat from state officials that such a move would be reckless and met with a cut in funding for the agency. The Texas Health and Human Services Commission sued, asking the U.S. District Court in Dallas for an immediate restraining order and a hearing by December 9th for an injunction that would prevent resettlement. It is also asking that refugees not be resettled until then. The suit named U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, the U.S. State Department, and others as defendants. Texas is seeking an injunction to halt the resettlement because the state contends the defendants are violating their statutory duty to consult with the state in advance of placing refugees in Texas. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton said, "The point of this lawsuit is not about specific refugees. It's about protecting Texans by ensuring that the federal government fulfills its obligation to properly vet the refugees and cooperate and consult with the state." This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.
Captain Actual America is overweight and hopelessly in debt, and the Richie Rich comic strip introduces a new, even gayer character. As if you needed another reason to remain in your isolated and socially degenerative cocoon, this is the Onion Week in Review, Comics Edition. Sources confirmed Tuesday that the comic book and sci-fi expo Comic-Con was once again marred by BullyCon, an increasingly popular event held in the same convention space. Now in its fifth year, BullyCon reportedly drew more than 125,000 tormentors from across the nation, all of whom were bent on beating up and torturing those attending the many comic book, television, and movie panels at Comic-Con.
This got started, it was just a couple of friends who wanted to beat the shit out of some Joss Whedon fans, but now there are thousands of us ruining Walking Dead panels, taunting Harry Potter nerds, and really making some video gamers' lives completely miserable. I don't necessarily need to travel to San Diego to slap a copy of Spider-Man out of some pussy's hands, but something really special about coming together with people who dig the same sort of cruelty you do.